There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
What up? This is your boy Doughboy.
And Kev on stage.
And this week we're going to start straight up with the
Ratchet. You didn't say to the right or left.
You said straight up.
Oh, okay. I thought we were going to go in down or forward and backwards.
Yes. And we are finally back for another weekly installment. Shout out to the Patreons.
Patreon people are watching this right now, live. They get this episode when we shoot them live on Tuesdays, and we stay longer and chat with you guys after. I know I'm talking to them, Josh. Mind your beeswax.
Sure, I'm getting nervous.
I'm talking to the people on Patreon who are watching right now because they subscribe to us on Patreon. They get to watch this right now. You may not subscribe to us, so you get to watch this when it's posted on Wednesday. Amen.
Hey.
And in addition to what they get now, they get a bonus episode, don't they?
Bonus.
Two times the righteous.
Two times the ratchet.
So we do another bonus episode every week. If you want that action in your life, visit us www.righteousandratchet.com. Join our Patreon. Merch is there as well. We're going to start doing some pop-up eating dinner with our fans, and only the patrons will know.
But you've been doing pop-ups by yourself and just eating just ribs. So I think we
need to
darkness, include.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. So before we get into our topics,
come on, huh?
Doughboy has something on his heart because Doughboy was a sad man.
He ain't hit me this week.
I knew something was off with you, too.
That's how I know we're pretty good friends.
I said, hey, man, I text you Happy Mother's Day. You didn't respond. I'm like, first of all, I'm not a mother. But you need to, I mean, you'd be breastfeeding. And I was like, okay, that's odd. He didn't hit me back. And then I hit you again on Sunday, and you didn't hit me. And then I hit you again on Sunday, like, look, I'm pulling up. You don't just be leaving me unread, delivered with no response. What's good? And you were like, I'd be sad.
I got sad, guys.
Why you got sad? And he, by the way, hasn't told me why he was sad. He just said I was feeling my feelings.
So everybody knows, like, you know, me going through my whole sobriety thing, and I always talk about, hey, X amount of days, 535, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's always good. But I think that the biggest thing for me as far as staying sober is learning how to deal with my feelings. Because a lot of the times,
my feelings. Yeah, so, I'm going to get that joke off.
I know you were.
I know you're going through trouble, but LMA made a song that had that.
It was hot.
Smash.
No, but as I said, and I wanted to ask your, you know, if you ever do this, because I do this to myself a lot, and then it just kind of
happens. You beat yourself up?
Yes, but this is how it happened. I sometimes get on myself if I haven't reached certain markers in my life by a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
So like now that I'm about to be 40, like I just got totally depressed because I was just like, I'm not married. I'm not gonna
marry
be
me
married.
At once hasn't worked.
No, and I
for
just
anyone?
I'm telling you. So this
marry
is,
me at once. No, marry is, me at once.
I
no,
thought this would work.
Marry me at once. Maybe I put the inflection. Marry me at once. Marry me at once. Ah.
So I just went through. So like,
why do you feel like? And I'm asking you, and I feel this way too.
Right.
Why do you feel like a certain age doing a certain thing defines that thing as good?
I don't know.
You weren't married before it was trash.
But see, that's the thing, though. That's enough. That's when I got married that time, it was similar thoughts. So what I kind of came to the realization of, and this is where I did feel a victory. So I went through whatever I went through, and I was just like, Tony, you're going to just have to go through this. And
you call yourself Tony when you're going through?
I call myself that in the third person.
Not Doughboy?
Mm-mm.
Hey, Tony, listen to me.
So I was just like,
I know you're going through some tough times right now.
I was like, Tony, you're going to have to allow yourself to feel these feelings. So go through whatever it is that you think it is and just think it all the way out and then just deal with that. So I was just like, all right.
So old you would have went to the bottle when you felt that. I would
have, absolutely.
And like, that I'm 40, I'm not married.
Exactly. Glub, that glub, was glub. That was actually the win of the whole situation, that when I went through the whole thing, I never once thought, I need to drink. It was, I need to go through this and I need to feel this. So I had to go through it all the way and just be like, what if you just don't end up married? Like, what if this, like, I had to just kind of go through it. Just like, what if this whole thing happens in your life? And I,
what is it about marriage that you feel like is a,
it represents a family
symbol
to me.
I think, but you already have a beautiful daughter.
I know, but it's just like, you know, like, I want like that whole, like, even when I was at your surprise birthday party, you said something really, really key. You were talking to Melissa and you were like, everybody kept asking me, you know, what I wanted for my birthday, but I got what I want. I got somebody to share this life with. And like,
that
I
made
like,
you sad.
That, I don't want to say it made me sad, but it's just like, it made me recognize that deficiency, like that I don't have it. I cried, man.
At my party?
No, not at your party.
I was about to be like, man.
I cried this Saturday. So I thought about it and I was just like, bleh. So I like cried.
You didn't even get in the shower?
No, I didn't get in the shower. I let myself.
You let tears run?
I let myself go through
it.
I
was sitting, just, I know your apartment be dark because you always want to sit in the lair.
And I just sat in it. And
did you make sounds?
Huh?
Did you?
No, I just, actually, I had a couple little breaths.
Yeah.
Because it was like sad. I was just like, but then I got through it and I was just like, okay. And
how
then
did
like,
you cope if you didn't use alcohol?
I just allowed myself to feel my feelings. However,
what does that mean?
It was, I didn't run away from it. I didn't do anything to make me feel better. Mm. I just, you know, I just walked through it and then I was okay. Then I started to kind of remind myself of all the other good things going on in my life. And you know what I'm saying? But I wanted to ask you this. Do you ever have those moments? I mean, obvious, not with, you know, a marriage or anything, but do you ever have like markers in your mind that if you don't reach it by a certain level, you feel like you're losing? And how do you
I have stupid
fight
things
out of that?
Let me tell you what I have. This is gonna sound dumb, but I don't care. This is the truth. Okay. I don't know why. I'd be like, man, I'm laughing already because how silly this is. I'd be like, man, LeBron James is younger than me. He already won an NBA championship.
Man, that's real though.
I think, oh my God, I'm not even in the NBA.
I'm not even in the NBA. How could I even do that?
I think that's a bigger parallel thought than we know though. I think a lot of people have at least thought of that before at least once or twice. Especially when you see, I mean, like, case in point, when Chance the Rapper was popping off, I was like, oh man, he's 23 years old.
He's 23.
I do that all the time.
Now, mind you, people were popping. I'm 35. And Chance is 25.
I'm deficit in my bank account.
It's tough.
My bank account, all I can buy is a coloring book. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Ooh.
That, and I feel like social media has put that more prevalent in our minds because we all just post the best days, right?
Yes,
when I didn't have a haircut the other day, I didn't, the camera was that way. I just didn't feel like shaving my hair. I knew we had a shoot today. I didn't do it. So we only post the best picture, my birthday party. We don't post a random Thursday when your laundry's overpiling, right? But we all have those moments. And the thing is, you got a timeline of, say you follow like 1500 people on Instagram, right? Mm-hmm. Which I do. That's all it's not
all
even
the happiness
people.
And joy.
It's highlights.
It's 100 people who are having that best day right then. But the thing is, every time you look on Instagram,
you're seeing the best of
somebody's having this and they're achieving that and they're winning an award and you're just sitting home wallowing. You ain't even taking a shower yet. You're a little musty, but it's a constant reminder. And here, no, let me tell you something else, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the thing that's funny about this. There is somebody who's looking at you and they're like, this dude, Doughboy, is living the life. He works for himself.
So crazy.
He gets to go on tour. He don't have no standard 9-to-5 job. He's making enough money podcasting. And here I am at this stupid job and they're older than you or younger than you, or he don't even do stand up like I do. And look, and he's on tour with Kev. How? He don't even be up there. There's somebody comparing them, their life
to
your life.
So we're all doing it.
We're all doing it. Melissa drives me insane, right? Melissa says anytime out of her mouth, oh, I got to work out. I'd be like, girl, if you don't hush. Melissa is in great looking shape, uh-huh. Right? Not physically. She's not in great condition as far as like, I be running and stuff.
Right.
But looking shape, she'd be like, oh, I really let myself go.
What?
I'd be like, yes.
That's so crazy.
She looks at the body she has and says, I've got to start working out. Somebody, now this is funny, right? I follow this dude. He was 300 something pounds, right? And I'd be posting, man, I really got to get it together. He's like, I would dream to be 250. I could get to 260. Remember when you were 485?
Yes.
260 would have been
Perfect. I remember praying to be under 300.
Under 300. Now you're under 300.
Yeah.
And you ain't happy about that. This is not a slight to you.
It's
just all about perspective. Like, we spend so much of our life comparing our worst to somebody else's best. And it's not even apples to apples. I think we should only compare ourselves to the best version of ourselves. Are you achieving your life dream based on what you want to do? Because you, like, I compare myself to Issa Rae all the time. We started similar times. She's a little bit ahead of me in everything, skill.
I was gonna be like,
a little bit ahead of me. Been a fan of hers forever. But, and Tony, me and Tony were talking about this. You're on tour. We're talking about, Tony has watched Tiffany Haddish blow, Gerard Carmichael, people, Kevin Hart. You talk about being on the same stage.
I remember Gerard Carmichael came out here right around the same time as I did.
Right. Mm. So he's had shows, he's had specials. He obviously has more money than either of us, right? But that doesn't mean you're not winning. You got to run your own race for your own life. I wouldn't want the the life other people have. Like Issa Rae, for example, love her. But it hasn't been my dream to sell my show to a network television show. Right. I literally be comparing myself to Issa and not thanking God that I am on my own independently promoted tour. You know how many comedians would never even want to do anything else. It's working.
Right.
It's working. Mm-hmm. Selling out. And when we don't sell out, like, I was thinking about this. This is silly.
10K shy.
Chicago 10K shy, right? Nah, I ain't going to make it. I just ain't going to hold y'all. It ain't going to make it.
Right, right.
But I sold almost 3,500 tickets, and I be looking at 60. Oh man, I'm 6,000 away. It is by far the biggest show I've ever had.
Why do we do that to ourselves?
I don't know. And there's nothing I can do to get this 10K. Like, I've done radio. I've bought the amount of ads I bought on Facebook and Instagram. Melissa was like, Kevin, okay, at this point,
you gotta stop.
Every $30 or $10 ticket you get cost you $10. So it's not really worth it. You know, like, I think I have, at this stage in my career, there's a certain amount of people who can go on that day, whatever that is. And I know I'll sell more tickets, but the bottom line is, if I would have told my own self 2 years ago, bro, 2 years, you're going to independently produce your own tour and you're going to sell 3,000 tickets in Chicago on your own, no promoter, I wouldn't believe it. And now you're sad.
You're doing it, and it's not.
Because I didn't reach 10K. You got to watch this Brene Brown documentary on Netflix.
Okay, what's
she was talking about? It's called The Call, Serena. Let me look it up. Something about The Call. Melissa just watched it. I only caught a piece of it, and I thought I was the only one. Mm. She said that one of the hardest human emotions to feel is vulnerability.
Oh,
she said, how many times? And I know you've done this, right? She said, when things are going too well in our life, we should watch it before the next episode. The Call to Courage. She said, when things are going right in our life, we think, well, something bad has to happen.
Oh my God, I've been feeling like that for like the past week and a half. Man,
other shoe has to drop.
I've been waking up in cold sweats like I'm gonna lose everything. Everything is gone.
I feel like we're gonna be honest and vulnerable.
Yes.
I be thinking, what if Doughboy dies in a car accident and I can't do the podcast? Jeez. I couldn't even do nothing. Let me tell you another one. This always happens to me. Love my kids. I go in their room when they sleep, look at them. What if they die? What if they get their school shot up? What if they die in a car accident? What if they get some disease? Like, them being alive and healthy just seems like too many things are. And she mentioned that specifically in the documentary, it's not really a documentary. It's more like a really extended TED Talk. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how she let her daughter go to prom. Mm-hmm. And as she was leaving with the boy, her first thought was like, car crash. Right? And we just cannot just be happy. And the people who are happy are.
I thought I was really going crazy because I was like thinking like that. Like,
no, recently. I always be thinking.
And it came out of nowhere because I was just like, why are these thoughts coming now when things are actually going good?
You finally.
I got attacked like by my own mind.
Yes.
Yes.
That was so
weird.
Bro,
your mind is an organ.
It was like, you're not going
to
ever.
You have to condition your mind like in a way that you work out another body. And that's putting positive thoughts in your head. That's approaching stuff differently. Like, for me, like, I hate social media sometimes because I see a lot of people that are doing stuff that started later that I know
you
that role I could have been doing.
Right.
You know, and like, for me, I had to approach it differently instead of like, oh man, like, it would almost attack me every single time I'd go and I'd start scrolling and then it gets deeper and deeper. Instead, like, now I know whenever I start feeling that way, I just get off. Wow. Just because, like, it's almost
negative thought loops. Joshua put me onto this
Amir thought. Amir put me onto that initially.
Okay. But negative thought loops. So Josh explained it to me this way. Mm-hmm. And I explained, because my son JoJo goes through this, mm-hmm. right? He hates school. So here's what I told him. And I gave him the best parental advice. And he was just like, at the end, he was like, are you done? He's like, can I go? But here's what happens. He doesn't like school, mm-hmm. right? He never has. Just the kid did not like school. So now they have their standardized testing. It's called the SBAC. Mm-hmm. And they have it once a week on Wednesdays, like for the rest of the school year, like 6 weeks.
Okay.
So he doesn't like the SBAC on Wednesday. So on Wednesday, he knows he has to take it. So on Tuesday night, he's like, ugh. As soon as I go to sleep, I'm going to have to wake up. When I wake up, I'm going to have to go take the SBAC. And then I'm going to be taking the SBAC at school. So when Wednesday completes, he's not happy that the SBAC's over. He's just like, now we have four more left. So now I only have 6 days until I have to take this again. And I don't like the SBAC. And I also don't like school. So now I don't like going to sleep because it means I have to go to school. And now when it's 5 o'clock, I'm not being like, this is happy. I'm happy it's 5 o'clock. That's only 4 hours till I have to go to bed. And then the next thing you know, you're sad about the SBAC on Saturday night because it's three days away.
And that affects your entire day. And whatever's going on that day, that could be an amazing, like, opportunity, like whatever gig you're working or whatever, like your family's together, you know, like you start missing out on all the stuff that's present.
Yes.
You know, right. And like that alone is a thief of joy, because then you're drifting more in your own headspace to get deeper and deeper, not recognizing that trigger of whatever right. caused what first thought got you to that
exactly.
point.
Exactly. And you're not, we're not even thankful to God for what we have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just, it's never enough. Melissa and I talk about this all the time. We're in a position where we have a company, mm-hmm. we're hiring people. People are depending on us, which is pressure. Mm-hmm. People like, I need, mm-hmm. if you mess up, if I mess up, people lose their jobs.
We get dragged, right? Something.
If I get dragged or canceled, it affects you. All it right. affects Josh. It mm-hmm. affects Serena. It affects Melissa. Goolsby, my brother-in-law, just started at the company. First day to day. Merchandise operations. He got a family.
Right.
My sister-in-law. Mm-hmm.
That's baby on
baby
stage.
Baby on stage
day.
Father.
That's the father of baby
quit
on
his
stage.
Good, clean job.
Right.
To help us build this company. I get dragged. People start canceling me. So that's pressure. But I could take that as pressure. Mm-hmm. Or I could take that as, man, this is an amazing opportunity to build something with people I love. But we tend to think about that as negatively. Like,
right.
And we, like Josh said, I'm training myself to be grateful for this opportunity. Because, man, when I was at Boeing, I hated every second of it. But even then, I could have still been more thankful. And I got this job. Boeing time, I was making $50,000 a year. And I was just like,
balling.
Should I get a Rolls?
A Rolls?
A Rolls Royce? Because me and Melissa made over $100,000. We owned our own home. Kids in private school.
Right.
Don't at me. Play boy, it don't get no better. And I was miserable because I wanted to do this. And then I'm doing
here,
this.
And then it's another.
I look at people like Lena Waithe, who is producing like literally 7 shows right now. She has an Emmy for Master of None. The Shy is amazing. I'm not even a writer.
I didn't know that was, those are both hers.
Yes. Well, Master of None, she wrote that episode.
Okay.
It's Aziza's show. She wrote that episode and she was. And then now she's just in Westworld.
She's just popped in it?
Up. Just like, chilling, I'm about to ask.
Here we go. Actually,
Yvonne Orji was with us at ADD. Working on a script that we never produced, she passed us.
Oh, yeah.
House in the Hollywood Hills.
No, this.
My brother, whom I love, went to his house in Chicago. Whew!
No, this is.
He better much nicer.
On the show that we produced, the pilot, the people that was either passed on it or. They're all
real
killing.
TV shows. We passed on this.
We
one,
passed
dude.
On them. And they out here killing. We like, hey man,
passed
you got
on us. We next saw him. We passed on this dude. I'll never forget this. So I was like, bro, people in Hollywood don't know nothing, and we are people in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Passed on this dude, Josh. The next time I saw this dude, he was on a billboard on Sunset Boulevard.
Yes.
I was like, oh, so you made it out okay?
And the girl that we passed on is killing it.
Oh yeah,
she's everywhere.
Oh, yeah. In our defense,
we wanted her.
We wanted her, and
we
him.
Fought hard.
The
for
network
her.
Said yeah, they, the yeah. network actually network. Said this girl was too pretty.
Who
said she was too pretty Who's to be mans? Believable as an around the way girl? What do, I had what, never what do, seen that happen to a row.
Man.
How much time we got?
I was gonna say we're getting to that point, but I did want to circle back though. Part of that process of like. Growth in general, and I was talking to this girl about this conversation actually yesterday, just randomly, but part of growth and progress is being content with where you are in your own race, in your own marathon. Mm. Looking around and be like, all right, I'm not there yet where I thought I would be, but I'm at a way better position than I was even yesterday, mm-hmm. last year,
right.
5 years ago. When were you working in insurance?
That was back in 2000.
When I met you, Gardena,
yeah,
Diamond Barmy,
480.
480 with the broken Stealing down lunches. Desk, a Dell laptop with duct tape on it.
And you recognize the progress all
You're
the time.
You're sober. Yeah. You're alive.
I know, but see, that's the.
I'm not.
I know, no.
I have mine too.
This is the thing. This is the thing that I've learned about myself. It's tough for me to stay in the moment because my mind always goes too far in front or too far behind.
That's when you have
things
to catch
that
it.
I can't
that's when you
even
have to catch
control.
It,
so I'm trying to learn how to stay grounded.
That's good
right now.
To know about yeah. yourself. Know yourself.
Yeah.
And know. Listen.
It's finding your triggers, man.
Find right. your triggers. Mm-hmm. And like Josh said, sometimes get off social media. Like,
And that's what it was. Oh, that's another thing that I found out because I didn't know why it just happened all of a sudden. But mm-hmm. I realized what this weekend was. It was Mother's Day. Big holidays. I start to feel inadequate because of family. So it's just
that
like
makes a lot of sense.
It starts to click.
And I text you Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And you were and like, I'm not married.
So that's the thing. So then it makes me feel like, oh, I'm a bad son. I don't talk to my mom enough. I'm chasing this so much. I'm never around. Like it just starts
you
to make
you can't
me,
win in your own mind. You're a bad son because you work too hard. And also you're not happy enough because you don't
mess.
Work hard enough.
But the good thing about it was that I did take some value in and some happiness in that. I'm starting to not run away from those confrontational moments with my feelings.
Yes. I want to get to that point. I want to say something. Hold that thought. Speaking of men who have trouble sometimes in the bedroom or sometimes you just want a little bit more enhancement, our good friends at Blue Chew are there for you. You know what could be depressing? Wanting to not have sex and not being able to rise to the occasion. Mm-hmm. I haven't hit that point in my life yet, but I want to release a lot of this episode is about releasing some of the stigma with that, about being a man and crying,
right.
about being unable to perform at a high level when you want to. Blue Chew, mm-hmm. I've tried it. Mm-hmm. I like it. I know if my ED starts to kick in, I already got a plan. Because right. when my kids start moving out, I need them to move out. And I still need to be as strong as I can be. Mm-hmm. If I start to be weak, I know Blue Chew will help make me strong. It's a chewable. It's the first chewable with the same FDA-approved acting ingredient as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, which I know you always have. Mm-hmm. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill. You can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. I can attest, Blue Chew is, remember gummy bears bouncing through? That's Blue Chew for your peen. As soon as you take it, it's ready to go. It's been really helpful for me when I travel and tour. I'd be exhausted, but I'd be ready to go. You feel me? I'm always ready, especially when I have Blue Chew. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special code RR.
RR.
Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUE. Chew.com, promo code RR.
RR.
To try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring the potty. I love the potty. I've been starting to say love our.
All right, last thing I wanted to say, and then we'll move on to the topic.
You can say more things if you want, man. I want to say something before you
move on. It's mental health
awareness
month.
While we're talking about this, one thing that I think could be helpful for you that you stopped doing and I think you should revisit, therapy.
Yes, I need to go back because I don't have benefits no more. When you gonna start offering us benefits here at Kev on Stage Studios? Huh?
Therapy's not necessarily important for everyone.
No, I do need to
go
back.
Is that what you...
Because I was doing better.
I think we... Finally, the stigma of therapy in the Black community, in the male community, is lifting.
Yes.
And I think it's okay for adults, kids, marital couples. My sister-in-law just started going to therapy. I think having someone help you navigate your feelings is good. The same way I hired a trainer to help me navigate the weight loss journey that I'm on.
And shout out to Kev. He is out here losing weight. We still are on this weight loss challenge.
246. I started at 260 about 5 weeks ago, and I had a picture of it. And I've been putting him in my highlights. I weighed myself 2 days ago after a terrible weekend. I hurt my neck. We didn't talk about that podcast.
No,
we did.
No,
we talked about it on the bonus episode.
Briefly. Right.
I was trying to be strong. I was lifting with Greg, 35 pounds, and I threw the weight. And it,
man,
and my neck was like, I had a performance in San Diego with a neck that was like, in intense pain.
Yeah.
And
it's that's when your body reminds you that you're 36.
I'm 36. All of 36.
36, fam.
Drop weights. Don't throw them.
Yeah. I'm dropping weights now. Right. So Greg is helping navigate me through that. I think a therapist, because you had alcohol as a coping mechanism, you have a lot of years of untrained coping mechanisms.
Absolutely.
You didn't have any healthy coping mechanisms. Mm. So you weren't even feeling your feelings. You haven't just sat there and cried, which it is fine.
Yeah.
It felt cathartic.
It felt better.
To cry. I cried. We talked about this on a couple podcasts, or maybe the Nipsey Hussle thing. Mm. When all those black men were getting killed.
Oh, we talked about that.
Yeah. I was in Seattle by myself, driving to a show in a rental car, stopped at a red light. I looked to the right, to the left. There was no cars. Next thing I know, I was...
No pedestrians, tears.
No. I sat through probably 3-4 cycles.
I think you have to do that.
Crying has such a negative connotation, and it's not even like... You can cry when you're happy. You get overwhelmed with joy, just all the good stuff that's going on around you. If you sit in that thought and like, I don't know, tear just streams down your face. I don't know. It might happen, man.
Did you cry at Dreamville?
No, I didn't cry. Actually, I did during the Nipsey tribute. That was
I cried during Avengers, and not when the spoiler alert lifted. Iron Man died.
You also cried in The Notebook.
I never seen The Notebook.
Two things can be true.
I cried in The Avengers when they all got back together and they were just charged, and I was like, I'm so glad.
Really?
I was happy, and then a tear. I didn't even know where it came from. I cried at The Croods.
The Croods?
The Croods is an animated film. You probably haven't seen it. It wasn't wildly successful, but my kids, we were taking them to everything. And The Croods was basically about a dad who was providing for his family, who was finding it hard to do so as they had to move, and he lost control of stuff. Okay. And I was like, I too am a caveman father. And I was crying. I'd be crying.
I cried when Will Smith got the job in Pursuit of Happiness, the clapping scene.
When we were in San Diego, I randomly watched the Will Smith, Why He Don't Want Me, Uncle Phil, because it was like the 25th anniversary of that episode.
Cried on it?
It hit me like the first time.
Yeah.
By the way.
He took the air out of the room. Mm-hmm.
Fun fact. It is a myth that he drew from his own life of not having a father.
Because he had a father.
His father was very much in his life. Interesting acting thing. The article talked about this. What he thought about is how close he was with his father and how... what he would feel like if he didn't have that relationship.
Jeez. Wow. Will just gets it.
And that's great acting technique. There's a technique called substitution that I used to teach when I used to teach acting. Shout out to Tasha Smith. She helped me start my acting school.
You taught an acting class?
Yeah. When I got fired, I was doing anything possible. I actually was pretty lucrative for a while there. And then people just stopped paying me. I couldn't help them get roles. And there wasn't that many roles in Seattle to get.
Oh, you taught this in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Tasha Smith paid to start.
Oh, hold on. Before I forget my thought of the thing that I want to say.
What's your thought?
Finish the thought. So
this is a serious question I want to ask you guys. Okay. This is, you know, as I kind of work through all my feelings, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, well, how do you start to make, you know, so this doesn't happen so much? And so I told myself, I was like, Tony, you need to love yourself better.
Yes.
Love yourself more.
Yes.
You begin to love yourself.
How do you do that?
How do you love yourself?
I don't really know how to properly love myself.
We talked about this before.
I don't know how to do it.
Remember, you set the plan to have a weekly self-date.
And you always try to bring the world in on your stuff. Let me go live on my cardio.
Hey, guys.
Let me be on my phone when I'm at a date.
Wipe my sweat.
I've been actually doing less of that. Mm-hmm. Because we do the bonus episodes, I used to do that type of stuff on Periscope. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes, I just...
Be present, man.
So, what are you saying? You spend some time alone?
I'm going to tell you what I did, which felt so weird.
Okay.
That's hard, too.
I'm trying to incorporate more walking into my... life, so I can beat you.
But
you've
just been walking around all you can eat buffets, and it made sense in my head at first.
So, I was walking to, I was getting Melissa's car clean because the fantastic husband I am, mm-hmm. and I, what I usually do is walk or take her car, Uber back to my house, drive my car, get it clean, and then take one back, Uber back. But I walk. The car place is maybe a mile away.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
It's a lot of bodily functions.
I'm sorry. Ugh.
That is the worst smell ever.
Oh, my gosh.
Ever.
And it's like slightly coated with cotton candy, but it's like bodily fluids.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off.
I'm sorry.
Turn it off.
Smell it.
You got some Febreze?
I don't want to.
It's literally
light
the worst.
Light a candle. Oh my gosh, I taste
See?
It.
See, it's so strong.
I do not
Can you drink those before we shoot?
I need them for energy.
Man.
Oh, I'll do some.
So I was, don't,
no,
oh,
it's
like,
gonna,
dude,
it's gonna
pull that up again. You pull that up again. His body is rejecting. Why is it immediate?
Lorax,
it's immediate burping. As soon as you drink that energy drink, I don't know if you know that, you immediately burp.
Because it's carbonation.
That's too much. When you drink a soda, you don't immediately, like, something is, your body's like, we don't want. So anyway, I was walking to the car place and I put my phone in my pocket. And I put my headphones down and I just walked down the street.
With just, nothing going on?
Just like Zay Zay was walking when he did. Just walking. And I thought, when I was walking, I was like, this is such an unusual occurrence. I'm always either listening to a podcast, music, checking my phone, playing games on my phone. I literally just looked up and walked for 10 minutes and just enjoyed that. I don't do this often, but I used to go out to eat by myself.
I'm learning to do that.
Bodily function McGee.
I'm sorry, I had to call.
But I think that's the first step before, and I guess that can be like a version of
self-care.
So just
spending some time alone.
Just be with Doughboy.
Someone commented, they challenged you to journal your emotions down.
And you know what's really good is gratitude lists.
I got a gratitude app on my phone now.
Yeah, gratitude. Brene Brown was saying gratitude is what offsets that, like, you know, negative voice in your mind, because some people will jump to, all of this might go away. Mm-hmm. People with gratitude practice will jump to, oh, I have all of this. I'm so lucky to have this.
Yes.
That
and that's what she's saying. The people that are the happiest are the ones that are the most grateful. Melissa and I always talk about this. She has this fear of the other shoe dropping. Because we're in the entertainment industry. You've known Viners who were on and off.
Oh my God.
Who made crazy money on YouTube. Yeah. YouTube changes one thing. You know, it affects their whole life. And, oh, should I be doing this? Should I be Ubering when I should be driving? What if I'm rich? What if it just continues to go well? Or what if you just be thankful for what it is while it is? Like, college was great and I had a good time and I had the most fun in my life. And then I moved on. And those memories, you know, are never going to happen again. But then I got my kids. And that's a great, you know, joy to have. And they're healthy and happy. And one of them talks to me. The other one is like, all right.
Okay. All right. So we good?
Yes.
Love ourselves. Okay. So moving on into toxic masculinity. Joel Embiid got dragged on Twitter. For crying.
Now here's
after
the thing.
A loss. Now if you don't know who Joel Embiid is, he plays for the 76ers. Mm-hmm. And they just recently
you
got.
You played for the 70 Snickers. You didn't think it was going to work. I didn't either.
So
but
he plays
shoot.
And they just got ousted by the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about him being dragged crying?
Okay, so here's my thing. Because I laughed. But I laughed as in it was a funny cry.
He did have an ugly cry.
It was an ugly, it reminded me, I laughed because that's what I used to look like post-whooping. Just.
That was a
totally defeated. That looked like me walking back to my room after getting beat in the living room and go to your room and just, You know that Ha Ha Davis meme where he's coming around the corner, he's just like, It was that.
The fact that he was crying.
I'm totally okay with him feeling his emotions. Like, basketball is important to him. He wanted to advance. Right. Kawhi Leonard hit
the craziest shot of all time.
Right.
That boom. Boom.
Boom.
And then that last boom, it went out.
Okay.
And then,
as a buzzer
and he's 7 feet tall. They did everything right on defense. The first Game 7 buzzer beater in NBA history.
And the Toronto's never advance either, man.
And the Raptors never advance. So I'm okay with him feeling that. And I'm also okay laughing at that
cry. But see, I feel like he got dragged because he was a man and he was crying.
I'm going to tell you something else. That could be true. But he also trolls a lot.
He does.
He trolls other players, other NBA players, and that's all fun and games.
Until it's your turn.
So when it's your turn, the internet's not forgiving anyway.
Mm-mm.
But when it's your turn, and that's what I think happened to Aisha Curry a little bit, the internet had a little bit of angst towards her from prior, you know.
Like she was already tippy-toeing.
And when it's time to get you straight up, We're going all in.
Right.
And that's what reminds me. People follow people that they don't necessarily like. Sometimes I feel like just so they can jump on you when it's go time. There's somebody waiting for me to mess up, like, and I never liked him. There was a pastor, he was an online pastor. He literally had in his Twitter bio, if you don't go to my church, you're going to hell.
What?
But he literally would find any video he didn't like about me and tweet me why he didn't like it. And he was like,
well, he didn't like you? Who doesn't not like you?
Well, a lot of people. I know. So there's some
really?
People. Yeah, of course. It's just, that's what the 95 is for. 95% of the people like me, 5% know. There's people who know about me who don't like me, who think I'm corny.
Really?
Yeah. I just accept it. I see post videos of myself and be like, bro, that's trash.
I've never encountered anybody who didn't like you.
Yeah, they exist.
Well, they've never, well, maybe they just don't say
who's
it.
Who's
going to
walk in and be like, you know who I hate, Doughboy?
Yeah. Your co-host.
Yeah. But there's people who don't like me. The Aska series, Christians, when I talk to gay people, transgender, anybody who they think is living in open sin, I get called everything but a child of God.
The black Christian community is probably one of the most judgmental.
Black
Christian community.
Megan Good was, this thing had went viral. She was like, man, I can't even go to, they almost broke me. Because her husband's a minister and people got on her. But anyway, people don't like me. And I accept that. But the thing is, thinking about gratitude. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who love me.
Exactly.
And who get it and who understand. And I would just rather focus on them than the people who don't like me. And I'm trying to do that with, if I can get that point in stand up, I'd be great.
Right.
Because, you know, it'd be the one person. So I forgot where I was going with this.
We're talking about Joel Embiid crying.
Yeah. I don't think he got dragged. I think he got laughed at because it's funny.
I think it was also the level of the cry, because you could have like a cry like Denzel in Glory, and you could be like, but then if your face just gets to contorting.
You remember Sean Moreno, the Broncos running back who was crying during the national anthem? And it was like the longest tear.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Right? And Tyrese, he had the one tear after John Singleton passed. They dragged him for that.
But I think it's just I just think whenever men cry, we're going
to You just happen to be crying that weekend, so it hit you differently.
I did.
It's fine. We can do that. It's okay.
I'm like, why are they making fun of him? I, too, cry.
I cry right now. I
see
cry.
This men
cry.
Like, wait, I'll stand up for you, Joel. I'll speak to this. But no, so maybe it was just his look.
Bro, I think, like, remember the little mama cry during the Charlamagne interview that became a meme? People were like making, like, y'all can't make fun of her. Like, for a lot of people, that meme had no frame of reference of that interview.
They just seen the cry.
It's just her face. It reminds you of when something happens, you're just like, you made that face.
Like, ah.
And that's, it's that. It's not, right. I'm, it's not
so
funny,
wasn't
whatever.
Toxic masculinity at all. It was just, look at his
that
face.
Was just
he looks
funny.
Ridiculous, right?
That just was a funny, he was just a, he's a huge dude. He's 7 foot crying like a 7 year old.
That
like,
is different too to see a grown.
I think two things can be true. I can think you can cry as a man and I can laugh because you look funny crying.
That's the thing that did kind of make me laugh at myself. Cause you know, I got a new bed or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of higher off the ground. As I was crying,
you
I see that
more snacks under there.
Shut up. I see that my legs were swinging off the bed. I was like, stop it. You either going to cry or you're going to swing these
your
feet.
Bed
but you
is
ain't.
You
and I was just, I looked down like, oh, you're ridiculous.
I was like,
you
one
or the other. It's high.
Because you're 6 foot.
Yeah, so my bed is.
You were through tears. You looked down
at
your feet.
I just looked down and see my feet. Like, I just stopped.
Why were you
this.
Moving your feet while you were crying?
I don't know. I was just like, my feet didn't get the memo of what was going on. They were like, we're sad, feet.
Were you home alone?
I was by myself.
I was making fun of myself, and I do it to myself when I was talking about my brother on Periscope.
I cried when I said you cried that time.
Did you?
Yeah,
I looked back.
I cried
when you had
when I was
that.
Editing the documentary. That was the first time I saw it. I don't know how
did
I missed
cry?
It. I was in Starbucks. All of a sudden, I'm like, there's people around me. The tears started flowing. I was like, man, is it hot in here? This is crazy.
The Postmates gonna get here when they get here.
It might not
stop in production.
They might mess up again.
Now, this is a perfect segue into the next story. Speaking of blackface, and is it offensive? is a movie called Loquisha.
Let's just pause here.
Okay.
The title alone.
Loquisha.
Fam.
Okay.
Putting a Q. Fam.
First of all, there's no Loquishas.
No.
I ain't never met a Loquisha.
I always heard the stereotypical black name is Shaniqua.
Or Keisha.
Keisha, for sure. Right. But Keisha is just a regular name. But it's like, oh, she's loud and ghetto and black. Right. It's Shaniqua or Shaquanda. If that cue, for whatever reason, putting a cue in there just ratchets it up for the whites.
It's like a kickstand for the ratchetness because there's a kickstand in the cue. So if you guys haven't seen this, there's a movie called Loquisha, and it's about a white man who has to parade around as a black woman.
To save his child, so his kid can go to private school, he gets a job sight unseen as a black woman, basically doing like a Dear Abby type radio host thing where she solicits advice and gives black women, gives advice from a black woman's perspective.
Okay.
And the guy put the trailer out and he got
dragged
to Kingdom Come
on Twitter. And people thought that this was racist. I'm going to ask you first. What are your initial thoughts on this?
My initial thought is it didn't look funny. The riskier you're going to be, the funnier it has to be.
So because our motto is funny trumps everything for the most
funny
part.
Trump's offensive, but that's not always true. Because you can just be offensive. And even if it is funny, it ain't funny. Right? But his thing, there was no way I was going to find that funny anyway. Mm-hmm. But if it was funny, I would at least be like, well, at least he
nailed it.
Right. He don't even sound like a black woman. He just sounds like a white man doing a bad version of a black woman. It's not like a, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, it's not like a good impression. It's just like, girlfriend, I told you. Yeah, honey.
So you're saying that it's not funny, but is it offensive for him to be doing this as a white man?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were you offended as a black woman?
I'll give you my first thought. It wasn't even offense. It was surprise and shock. Okay. I thought it was an old clip. Like, oh, snap. Man, we used to be wild out here, man. This dude.
Until you seen that 2019 Prius drive by. Like, wait. That's a.
I saw that was coming out this year. I was like, hold on. Loquisha. And then the graphic is like him with a black woman's face on either side of him. By the way, do y'all see our new wall?
I
just saw it out of the corner of my eye. I forgot. Did we say anything about it? New set alert.
It's coming together. It's
this
not
is
done.
Joshua's idea, by the way. Yes. It's not finished, but it's close.
This is Josh's brainchild. I've been waiting for a chance to say the term brainchild. Nice.
Why?
I just wanted to say it, and it worked. So this is how I feel about this.
Okay, cool. Go ahead.
For one, it don't look that funny.
No.
Okay. I'm going to tread lightly.
That's hard for you. As heavy as you be.
I get torn to pieces. So this is the thing. I will say that as far as tastefully, I don't think it's that funny. But at the same time, I do have to play devil's advocate at least a little bit.
Trying to play devil's advocate.
To ask this, though.
Mm-hmm.
Movies like White Chicks.
Oh, I knew it.
Movies like White Chicks come out.
I knew it. So, By the way, before you make your point, he was like, bro, I could do this. And posted a picture of him and Marlon Wayans because of White Chicks.
And I'm not saying that he can. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that I at least want to pose the question. Are we not just as offended, or do white women have the right to be upset as how they were portrayed in that way?
Because that could be
offensive to a white woman.
I'm going
to
tell you what it is.
Right?
I'm going to tell you the difference between blackface and whiteface.
Okay.
There's no such thing as whiteface. I'm going to tell you why. Blackface historically was white people putting on the black paint, the red lipstick, doing the whole Sambo thing to make fun of people, right? And then Birth of a Nation, they had the white people do blackface, and then the black guys in that movie, he's trying to rape white women. So those kind of, and they, the president of the United States had a screening for Birth of a Nation when that movie came out. It wasn't even seen as a movie. It was like taken as a documentary. Like, this is what they'd be trying to do. They're after our women. Mm-hmm. That one trope of the black man after the white woman is responsible for hundreds of lynchings. Emmett Till's lynching.
Oh, wow.
Emmett Till's lynching was because he was accused of whistling at a white woman. That white woman is still alive and admitted
that she lied.
That she made that up. She just moved to a small town and just like went into anonymity. So blackface had legit consequences for black people and the loss of black life. There's no whiteface thing that had the societal impact of whiteface. White Chicks didn't get white women killed.
Got it.
Blackface actually got black men killed.
And I didn't even know
that. That is part of American fabric of society. That's why we say there's no such thing as whiteface. If you're a white woman, you think we don't talk like that in White Chicks. If you want to be offended, that's fine. But there's no danger associated with this. Blackface had a history of racial prejudice and danger and violence to black people. That's why we say that's not funny.
Okay.
Because that's like, that got people killed.
I didn't know that.
Up until recently, people were still getting lynched in the 80s and 90s. Like, it wasn't like hanging from trees, but they were still getting executed. In some ways, they call police brutality modern lynching, but we won't get into that in this way. But that trope alone of the black man after the white woman had so many lynch. All you had to say is, he tried to rape me. So that's why I say there's no such thing.
So the fact of it, so by that rationale, and I never even knew that, so thank you for educating me on that. So then by that rationale, would it be safe to say that it's never okay for white people to mimic black people on camera then?
What do you mean?
Well, because, like, let's just say, for instance, Robert Downey Jr. In Tropic Thunder. That's blackface. Is that have the same? Does that carry the same racial undertones as
that didn't,
somebody with the red lipstick and the
that? So,
and I don't think that they're doing that in this movie either.
So I think the reason Tropic Thunder gets a pass, and I don't know if it should or not, but I think the reason Tropic Thunder gets a pass is because they were making fun of method actors,
right?
And Robert Downey Jr.'s character in that movie was a method actor. Okay. And he had won that role. He auditioned, and he was trying to embody what a black person was.
So it was like an inside joke of a joke, like
acting, right? And I think that's why it gets passed. And it also gets a pass because there was a black character calling it out at the moment it was happening.
Oh,
because his character.
So it's almost like Brandon, they were breaking the fourth wall on that.
Right. Okay. It was a commentary on that, and people would do that. I think it was Brandon T. Jackson, and Robert Downey Jr. was like, "What do you mean, you people?" The guy was like, he said something about you people. Mm. Robert Downey Jr. character said, "What do you mean, you people?" Yeah. And then Brandon T. Jackson says, "What do you mean, you people?"
Right.
So
that was actually really
that's
great,
different than I'm just going to make fun of you. That's a play on a play, and I think that's why it got a pass.
So you feel like Loquisha is following the same blueprint of just making fun of.
I don't know what that guy's intentions were, but I know he shouldn't have done that.
So do you feel like it was racial in what he did? Because I mean, that's one thing to just say if it's funny or not. Like, none of us think it's going to be funny.
Yeah.
But is that racist?
I think it was
racist?
More stereotypical. Here's another thing about it. Serena mentioned this before we shot. She said, when have you ever heard of a black woman getting a high-profile job? Because in the movie, he gets the job sight unseen by just doing the voice. Nobody even checks that. When do you ever see, like, that's the most unbelievable part of the movie, that a black woman get a high paying profile
just because she's a black woman,
just because she can do this voice. Woman, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like Beto O'Rourke. I know this is way off topic, but kind of not. Mm. Did you see how Beto announced his presidency?
No.
So he did a vanity. You know who Beto is?
No.
Beto O'Rourke?
I was just like, okay.
Beto O'Rourke, he was a senator. A senator candidate. He went against Ted Cruz and he almost won senator seat in Texas.
Okay.
And Texas is like, has been a red state from the beginning of time, like nearly impossible for a Democrat to win. He lost, but he was as close as anybody's ever been.
Got it.
So he's running for president, and his announcement was in the Vanity Fair. He's like in some jeans and a Wrangler's t-shirt, and he's literally standing there by like a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. And his answer was like, "Why do you think you should be president?" He was like, "I'm just born to be in it." And people were like, "You're just born to be the president?" Why? Because you're a white man? They called him out on that. On
View.
Why? Because you're the white man? He was like, "Actually, I can see now how that would have been." Because you have people like Elizabeth Warren who say what you want about Elizabeth Warren. Policies, though, she got some ideas.
She does.
Smartness, she's up there, right?
I don't know who Elizabeth Warren is. I'm not going to just continue.
We got to do better about this.
Yes, I don't know.
But she introduced a lot of interesting ideas. She said she wasn't going to do Fox News.
Is she going to run for president?
Okay. She's polling behind Joe Biden by a lot.
Wait, is it official that she's running for president?
Yes. Yes.
Elizabeth Warren?
Yes.
I want to look into her policies.
Look into her policies.
Okay.
But basically what people were saying is like, you, in some ways, you think just because you're white, you can do this. You can be the president. And she has to have policy after this and that and that. And when you're a white man, people just think you're electable because the history has been white men. Like when Joe Biden jumped in, he automatically went to the top. Mm. He introduced no policy like Elizabeth Warren. I'm just making the point. Yes. And he's polling the highest of all of them. And the point about that I'm making is the black woman, she would never have got that job. Sight unseen.
Right.
You'd have to have resume,
right.
LinkedIn, references, reels, all that. If anybody were to get a job sight unseen, it's probably a white man.
Right. So that just speaks more to the ridiculousness.
That's why you should just leave that stuff alone.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, I looked at it like, it was a poor choice in a movie to be trying to make. However, I didn't feel the racial dragging that I feel like he got. I think
there's a historical.
I was like, that's just a bad idea. I don't feel like you're a racist.
Well, though. Yeah, because I don't want to say that like that. You're not aware of the historical context of that.
Of blackface.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're like, oh, man, it's just white chicks and this. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's no correlation to whiteface and harm.
Got it.
There's like Native Americans, like the stuff that happened to them, like playing cowboys and Indians. And when we were kids, we didn't know what mm-hmm. happened. But now when you find out what Thanksgiving really was about, you'd be like, man, that's.
Sometimes I get thrown off. I mean, to this day, I just be like, how is there a team called the Redskins? That just money. Sounds racist.
That dude paid them Redskins? A lot of money. That's racist.
And if you see the logo on the Cleveland Indians, it's like completely red.
Yes.
That's racist, man.
Yes. And there's a lot.
It's got to stop.
There's so many racial Native American team names. Think about how many cities. Oh, there's a lot. Blackhawks, Indians, Chiefs. Seminoles. But like the Seminoles in Florida State, they actually partner with the Seminole Nation in Florida. Like if you go to Washington, there's so many Native American names. Tacoma's a Native American name.
Really?
Seattle, they changed some letters to make it more readable. Mm-hmm. But Chief Seth was the Native American who like, I don't want to use the word colonized Seattle, but like, organized it. I don't know the right word. And there was like, South is kind of hard. We'll call it Seattle. There's Tillicum in Washington. Tallahassee. There's all type of Choctaw.
That's all Native American?
All Native American.
Wow.
And what America did to Native Americans.
Oh, man.
Whew. You talk about a doozy.
That's genocide. It was mass genocide.
Literally. Mm-hmm. The Trail of Tears, the taking of land, like America, starting from Christopher Columbus, really came over to a land and was like, I discovered this.
This is mine.
There's people there.
There's already people there living, doing regular
things.
And
you know what? The thing that, the biggest help that he got? What? Smallpox.
Native Americans. They brought that with them, right?
They brought all the diseases.
Blankets
bro.
With smallpox on them. Gave those out as gifts. And Native Americans had no.
They knew they had smallpox on them?
Oh, yeah.
Smallpox just lived in the blankets?
They had people who had it and they covered with the blanket. Oh. Here's a gift. And they had no immunity to it.
And they made a holiday
called Thanksgiving.
And Columbus Day.
And taught us as kids that the Native Americans and the Pilgrims and the Indians got along and it was a straight bloody massacre.
That they all broke bread at the table together.
They all broke bread together as friends. We made our little turkey fingers and our hats. When I was a kid, we made the little Native American hats with the feather. We did the sound. We didn't even know.
That's cultural appropriation.
To the max.
When you're doing that sound and I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be, that's offensive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But what's crazy is like you're getting taught that as a kid. That's brainwashing.
Yes.
Well,
to a child.
Yes. And you don't even know it. Mm-hmm. You have no reason to question this. I mentioned this on the Love Hour in San Diego. The idea of milk doing a body good is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that. The idea of the food pyramid is not
bread.
Nothing that
six to eight servings of bread a day.
You know who taught that? People who were grain farmers. They taught us that so we would buy more bread.
And now I'm out here trying to do the keto. Like, I've been taught a lie this whole time.
Milk doesn't do a body good.
Neither does bread.
No, but dairy farmers pay for that commercial. We were taught that. We were given milk at school. Drink your milk. Drink your milk so you'll have strong bones.
I even remember. This is
osteoporosis.
This is show you how old I am. I remember coming up in the era where they had Big League Chew, which was looked just like tobacco.
You had an ice box.
I used to buy that all the time.
And they used to have candy cigarettes.
You talking about stuff that we all remember.
You had it too?
Yes. I used to be smoking.
They have shredded beef jerky.
And then wonder why everybody was growing up smoking cigarettes. And all right, now speaking of times where maybe you can just shut up as well as an option.
Shutting up is always free.
Natasha Tynes, an author who was spending some time on. I'll set it up.
Natasha Tynes, Jordanian American woman, author, works for World Bank and writes books, lives in the DC area, rides the DC Metro. Mm-hmm. 3 days ago, she took it upon herself. She saw a DC Metro employee on the train eating. Apparently, there's a rule you're not supposed to eat on the train. Snaps a picture of the girl, says, thought we weren't supposed to eat on the train. Apparently, she asked the lady, and the lady was like, why don't you mind your business? Black woman.
I love that response.
Why don't you mind your business?
Why don't you mind your business, though?
Natasha should have minded her business. Mm-hmm. snaps a picture of the girl, tweets it to the Washington Metro Authority, WMATA, whatever, their Twitter account, and this other Twitter account called Unsuck DC Metro, which is basically a complaint.
A message board to just talk trash.
We just complain, right? Mm. So she made the quality mistake people do, say something that they don't realize is controversial, mm-hmm. leave their Twitter account alone for hours. She posted that tweet, went on about her day. Much to her chagrin, when she came back to her Twitter account,
it was litty.
Black Women United on Twitter for the dragging. Commence the dragging. First of all, why don't you leave this woman alone? Mind your business. Why would you post her picture online? You call yourself a minority writer. They're saying that minority writers, women of color, always still be having it out for black women.
Even though they be trying to act like they
don't. We all women of color. We're women of color. Why are you black women eating on the train? Okay. They came for her.
Whew.
So much so that Natasha Tyne's author, her publisher was like, we're dropping this book.
Dropped her book?
Lost her book deal. Parent company of that publisher who had planned another novel or something like that was like, we not.
Nah, we boo.
We're cool. She comes back to apologize. It's too late to apologize.
You don't get to choose your consequences.
One more thing that's funny, though. The black woman who was eating on the train, you know why she was eating? She was on her lunch break. She only had 20 minutes. And a train had broken down. So in order to make sure she got to her shift on time.
She had to slam that lunch.
She slammed that lunch down or breakfast down, whatever, on the train. Her job was like, oh, yeah, this is why she did that. There's no disciplinary action. Even there was disciplinary action. It wasn't a fireable offense. It was maybe like a counseling for a first time offense. Her union was like, bro, this.
Man, shut up.
Shut up.
What's her name again? Natasha?
Natasha Tyne. She deleted her Twitter account too.
You think?
Damn it.
Sometimes you gotta
just know how to. We've talked about this so many times. Sometimes there is immense power in just shutting up.
Let me tell you.
Just cease to speak.
My list came out. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what's so interesting, though. It would never even, regardless of race, it would never cross my mind to be like, you're doing something wrong. Let me tell your boss. Let me snap a picture of you.
Why? And they're eating. It's not
who
like
cares.
It's not like you're spray painting.
Unless you're eating like raw fish.
Right.
Blood's going everywhere. She was eating like a breakfast sandwich.
That's like a Facebook mom move.
Yes. Like, who cares? I might text, man, people was eating on the train. It smells weird. At the most. I'm not going to try to get somebody reprimanded.
And then it's just like, what really has to go on in your mind to want to get someone in trouble?
Right.
Like, you know that a consequence is coming for this. You added her job. That's like just telling somebody's supervisor, hey, man, you know they took 17 minutes instead of 15. Man,
that always sticks to Doughboy. Jerk. That happened to his job one time, and he never forgot it.
They wrote me up for that.
But here's the thing. She tried to get that girl fired.
And got herself fired.
She lost a book deal.
Oh, stupid self.
A book deal.
Go sit down somewhere. Go write about that.
The rise and fall of the Metro.
All that
the day I lost my job.
In one day. She tweeted that. They responded that she's fine. She lost both both publishers that had worked on her book, both dropped her. All in the same day.
Okay, as much as we're making a joke about Natasha, and that's ridiculous. I do feel like the world is changing too much. I don't feel like she deserved to lose all of that. That's a lot. Is that a lot to just be telling on somebody? Yeah,
no, but does the punishment...
You tried to get her fired, though.
There was a negative intent.
There was a negative intention for that action.
When you start working for other people and start getting deals lined up, it's not just a reflection of you anymore. You're reflecting the brand.
Like, bingo.
If you did something bad that reflected Kev's entire tour or something... Best believe something's gonna happen. I don't know what's
going to.
Same with me too.
If you, this is true,
because that interrupts his bag.
Did something egregious? This podcast would be over. Mm-hmm. All ties would be severed. Because you, I got other stuff that I'm doing too.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And if association with you say, hey, people are like, hey, no, I'm not watching his YouTube videos. I'm not coming to see his shows because he's associated with that guy. I can't feed my kids.
No
harm, no foul.
It'd be the same way. If
same
you
way.
I'd be like, man, ratchet and ratchet.
And I was just about to, just about to say, if I did something wild
right.
and it was messing up your other deal, yeah. You got other shows outside of me. And they're like, hey, if you associate with him, we can't have you on the show. You'd be like, who? I don't know. Nobody named Kevin. I don't even do that podcast. I never liked him, if you want to be honest. I just said all that stuff because we was working together. So I know the same thing for job. Like, right. We all work together. Mm-hmm. So when you, there is freedom of speech, but there's not freedom from consequences.
Bars.
You reflect me. Yeah.
That's a bar.
Yes. And that's what happens. Even if we owned our, like, say we own everything outright, mm-hmm. right? if we did something, both of us did something stupid, right? Punch some kids. Audio, the people who sponsor our podcast, they're gonna be like, people are not going to advertise with y'all.
Yeah.
YouTube will be like when that Logan Paul thing happened, that's a great example. Mm-hmm. Logan Paul did that suicide forest video in Japan. His action had a negative reflection of in the entire YouTube community.
Yeah.
They had adpocalypse for everyone.
Adpocalypse.
Literally everyone suffered because of his actions. His money never gonna go back to the same. He was on Google Preferred, which is the premium.
That's select, the big money.
The biggest ads. He probably bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions a year. Hundreds of thousands, at least tens of thousands a month. Actually, probably hundreds of thousands. Because we know some people that were nowhere near as big as him bringing in 40, 50. He probably bringing in hundreds of thousands of dollars. YouTube was like, bro, you're not finna mess up our ad. Cause there was ad companies pulling out of YouTube overall, like Coke, Netflix. We can't advertise on your site if you can't police that. Oh, word? All the ads are off. Any
the comments, remember the comments on my current YouTube page.
It's basically a result of things like Logan Paul, stuff that I had nothing to do with is affecting me.
The world is
so changing. You think a person that girl's publisher is like, you're not, we got other books to sell.
I gotta stop the bleeding.
Because that's the thing about that happens on the internet. Natasha Times publisher is, I don't remember what it's called, but say it's, you know, Bird Life
such
publishing.
And such, yeah.
They're publishing her book. I'm not buying her book. Y'all shouldn't publish it. And if you don't not publish it, I'm not gonna buy his book. Who's it? Josh got a book coming. I'm not buying nothing. They're like, bruh, bye.
What
Natasha?
Girl? Who?
Who?
More like Natasha.
Nay who?
It's two bad jokes at the same time.
Nah who?
But that's not her whole name.
Shutting up is always free. Mind your business.
Yeah.
And shut your mouth.
Let the woman eat, man.
Let the woman eat her lunch.
I wonder, was I the only person thinking about what was on that breakfast sandwich?
Man, it caused much of a problem. I was hungry when I read it. I was hoping it was a bacon, egg, and cheese with a little bit of mayo.
Mayo on bacon and egg?
I like mayo.
Quick swipe, mayo?
Mayo on a breakfast sandwich?
Oh, yeah.
Bacon. Egg cheese, a sliver with of the mayo? Man, when we used to go to
bodegas.
Jerry's,
I was talking about ADD,
bodegas too. Just a sliver of the mayo,
man.
Not too heavy. I like mayo.
I miss that Jerry spot, man.
Oh man, I go visit them sometime. A lot of black people get flack for liking mayonnaise. I like it. I like Miracle Whip too.
Not really into it.
You're Miracle Thick.
Shut up. This has been another episode of Righteous and Ratchet. Do we have another read before we
No more ads. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're going to continue the conversation with the Patreon people while we have lunch before our staff meeting. But the rest of y'all, we love you.
Come join the right pack.
We'll see you next Wednesday, Patreon. Stick around for the post cap.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.